Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, June 17th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Sea Alaska and the Sitka Tribe have reached an agreement on the management of Redoubt Lake Falls, when and if the property is ever conveyed by the federal government. Representatives from both organizations met in a signing ceremony Friday afternoon in Sitka. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Redoubt Falls lies about 17 miles southeast of Sitka. It's home to the largest subsistence dipnet salmon fishery in the area. Sea Alaska selected the few acres around the falls 38 years ago under rules spelled out in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, or ANCSA. Former Senator Albert Kukesh is chairman of the Sea Alaska Board.
This was a process set up by the United States government to allow us to get control of our sacred sites. It doesn't work very well.
Still, there has been some movement recently on the redoubt selection. A Bureau of Land Management survey of the property was done in 2011, and the trustees of Sheldon Jackson College filed a color of title claim, saying some of the area had been deeded to the school following the sale of Alaska from Russia to the United States. Kukesh regarded the Sitka signing ceremony, which has no effect whatsoever unless the BLM conveys the land to Sea Alaska, as a demonstration of Sea Alaska's intention to keep sacred tribal lands under the control of local tribes, if not in their ownership. He told the small audience gathered in the Sitka Tribe conference room that corporate ownership was the only tool available to tribes to regain control over traditional lands.
We really want to make sure that Sitka tribes and other tribes realize that we don't want to own it, but we're, by circumstances, have to own it because we're the only train left at the Congress where we're going to have sacred sites management come to.
Corporate ownership of public lands, particularly at a major sockeye run, has been polarizing in Sitka. Sea Alaska Vice Chair Rosita Worrell repeated a theme that the corporation has emphasized at public meetings on the issue. ANCSA guidelines on the use of sacred sites are clear.
It can't be for any kind of commercial development. It can be used for, continue to use it for subsistence fishery. And we know that the site is really important to the tribal members, but to the public at large. And so under this agreement recognizes that the public will continue to have access to that site for subsistence fisheries.
The four-page memorandum of agreement was signed by former Senator Kukesh on behalf of Sea Alaska and by Tribal Council Chairman Mike Baines. Afterwards, I asked Worrell why Redoubt was sacred. She said she'd been down to visit the falls.
I could feel, you know, just the essence of that site. And I can imagine, you know, the long use of it by our ancestors. I'm also aware that it was a site that was used by the Russians. And so there is that part of history that's there, although that doesn't have the kind of sacred dimensions that I've just discussed. We do recognize, you know, the significance of the Russian occupancy.
Sitka Tribal Chairman Mike Baines said his organization had no immediate plans for Redoubt if Sea Alaska were to finally receive the land, but he acknowledged that there were possibilities for cultural education in the area. For him, signing the management agreement was about fulfilling the mission of his office.
When we say our oath of office at the on the council, one of the most important things is for us to, that we'll work to protect the traditional resources of the Tlingits in the area, and that's certainly one of the traditional resources. So. Yeah, that's what we plan to do.
The management agreement will not affect the Forest Service and the $100,000 taxpayer-funded lake fertilization program. Sea Alaska's Worrell said she hoped the federal government continued to pay for the program. Separate Sea Alaska land selection legislation affecting nearly 70,000 acres of timberlands on the Tongass and another 80 sacred sites is currently before Congress. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Warm temperatures over the weekend combined with relatively dry weather over the past few weeks have created an unusual situation in the Tongass, fire danger. The Sitka Ranger District of the U.S. Forest Service issued a very rare fire warning for the region over the weekend. Perry Edwards, ecosystem staff for the district, spoke with KCAW's Robert Woolsey.
It's not like the interior of Alaska where lightning strikes are going to start canopy fires in the forest. We're talking about kind of a different sort of fire danger, right?
You're absolutely right. The concern for fires here is human-created fires. Somebody has a picnic or a camp area or whatever, and they go out and they have a fire and then think, oh, we can just let it go because that's what we always do. Well, we kind of have a game changer with this weather that we don't want to do that. You want to make sure it's dead out.
And how is it that in Southeast Alaska, the ground catches fire? I know we've reported on this several occasions in the past where you guys have to go out and drown a fire that is burning underground.
Yeah, our duff layer here can be several feet thick in different areas. That's all that organic matter from trees, you know, the spruce needles falling off and moss and other things that just sit. And instead of it being soil, that material can easily catch fire and creep around for days, if not weeks, with the right conditions. And we are in a situation where we have the right conditions for that to happen.
And what is the risk in the Tongass if one of these duff fires gets away?
Well, what can happen is it can creep around for days or weeks in the duff, and then it can pop up and get up into the trees, and you can potentially have a crown fire. We have had on the Tongass on any number of occasions where we've had crown fires that have burned up areas. And, you know, typically it happens in places that people use for camping that they're great recreation spots.
Perry Edwards is on the ecosystem staff for the Sitka Ranger District. Edwards says only a few people are red carded for wildland fires fighting in Sitka. If a large fire were to start, the district would have to bring in support from Hoonah and Thorne Bay. Six men and six women are now considering murder and manslaughter charges against David Paul of Juneau. After closing arguments on Thursday in Juneau Superior Court, jurors retired to the jury room for over an hour for deliberations. Friday was their first full day of deliberations. Friday was also the 19th day of Paul's trial, in which he is accused of injuring his girlfriend's baby so severely that she died. Four-month-old Ryan Orr died in August 2010. The 24-year-old Paul confessed during recorded interrogations with investigators about allegedly dropping the baby and then picking her up and shaking her once to get her to stop crying. But the defense presented a testimony at a trial refuting the link between the baby's injuries and shaking and showing how someone could be coerced into making a false confession during a police investigation. Commercial net fisheries in Southeast Alaska kicked off the season Sunday. Bill Davidson is Fish and Game's regional coordinator for commercial fisheries in Southeast. He says he's looking forward to a productive year for both gillnetters and seiners.
It should be a very high-value fishery for the fleets and the industry participating in the fisheries if runs come in as expected and prices hold up strong as they've been recently.
This year's pink salmon harvest forecast is 54 million, which is double last year's forecast. Since 2006, Davidson says pinks have established an every other year cycle of strong and weak runs.
Last year was the weak cycle, and this year is going to be the strong cycle. But there's always curveballs thrown at us from Mother Nature, so we don't really know until we actually get into it. But we'll be ready, and industry will be ready.
Estimates for chum salmon are higher than last year's. The majority of chum come from hatchery programs, and Davidson expects a considerable fishing effort for the species. In contrast, the king salmon forecast is low, and Davidson isn't sure about the sockeye run.
The parent year for sockeye was very weak. However, that really doesn't tell us what's going to happen this year. It could be better than it was, you know, 5 years ago this year. And that will just be known in season.
2011 was the highest value total salmon fishery on record in Southeast, with commercial fishing boats getting $200 million. Davidson's hopes are high and thinks this season could surpass that. An initiative to set up a legal market for marijuana has cleared a hurdle for getting on the ballot. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell certified that the initiative language conformed with Alaska statute on Friday, just one day short of his deadline. That means the initiative sponsors can start circulating petitions to show that a sufficient number of Alaskans want to vote on the issue. The sponsors need more than 30,000 signatures to do that. Tim Hintenberger is a professor at University of Alaska Anchorage, an occasional user of marijuana, and a sponsor of the initiative. He says that successful votes in states like Washington and Colorado show that public opinion is shifting towards legalization.
I would love for people in Alaska, you know, like me, who have no reason to hide it, to come out of the closet and say, yeah, this is ridiculous, let's make this legal.
This isn't Alaska's first pro-marijuana initiative. In 2000, a similar proposition appeared on the ballot, but barely cleared 40% of the vote. Sponsors tried again in 2004 and closed the gap by a few percentage points. Hinterberger thinks this initiative has some advantages over past efforts. It doesn't give amnesty to people who have violated drug laws, and it also provides a roadmap for establishing a legal marijuana market.
The language has been carefully crafted to provide a lot of guidance to the state on how cannabis should be regulated and taxed and made available. So it's just really a better thought out approach than in the past.
Just like with drinking, you would have to be over 21 to consume marijuana. It would be sold in stores and subject to a lot of the same rules that govern alcohol. The initiative would also allow communities to ban marijuana establishments through their own city laws. Right now, Alaskans are allowed to possess small amounts of marijuana in their own homes, but the sale of marijuana is still a crime. The new Petersburg Library will open in September, but is causing some changes at the current location while workers prepare for the move. The library has shut down many of its summer programs ahead of the move. There's no summer reading program, and passport services will stop after July 18th. They will start physically moving books to the new location in late July after shelves are installed in the new library. To help lessen the load, library officials are asking people that they can check out anything they'd like after July 8th and not return the books until September 10th at the new building. The new larger library will have a community meeting area, soundproof children's room, a place for teenagers, a fireplace lounge, and laptop computers. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Now here's a look at Sitka's own weather. Today, expect increasing clouds and then partly cloudy in the afternoon. Isolated showers with highs 63 to 71. Tonight, clouds with scattered showers, lows around 52. You're listening to KCAW, Sitka.